Praise God, I'm a child of the King. And that's because one day a king came as a child. And we have life through his name. As we're in the Christmas season, you go through the go to the malls, you're going to see the flowers of Christmas. You're going to see the greenery, the gifts. You're going to see the lights and the wreaths. And yes, you'll even see Santa Claus. But not going to see much about Jesus. Don't hear much about him out in the world. And that's really where we ought to be presenting him. You and I this morning, everything that I'll say, we will agree with more than likely. But the world has no idea who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So the world has so commercialized and has changed the real meaning of Christmas till we think about all the other things. We put out our poinsettias, we put out our decorations, we put up our trees, we do all those things. But the last time I checked, Christmas was not about Santa's birthday, but it was about the birth of our Lord. And so we've sort of lost emphasis. One of the most popular Christmas songs, I guess one of my favorite Christmas songs, is the song, O Holy Night. I've heard it three or four times this past week. I heard it one time this week, I guess the best rendering of it that I've ever heard, by a lady that I don't know who it was. I don't know how to find out who it was because it was on satellite radio. But it was just a stirring and a moving time to hear the person, whoever it is, to sing the words of a song that we are identified and we can identify with as a Christmas carol. That song was written by Adolphe Adams, who was a Frenchman. And he was asked by some of the clergy of church to write a new Christmas song and try to write something along that line. And when it was first written, many of the churches would not even accept it and would not sing it because they said it did not have enough religion in it. Did not have enough gospel in it. Well, I don't know what they was expecting because what I read has a lot of gospel in it and has a lot of things in that. O Holy Night has a strange history as it was written by that Frenchman, and if you take the exact translation of the French song, it is nothing like what we have because of the exact translation is so different. The first verse of the song gives us some things that's important to us. The first verse of the song, about halfway down, it says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining." Now, the word pining is a word that we don't use a whole lot. That's a little older word. The world was in sin and in error pining. If a person is pining after someone, it means they are becoming infatuated and literally wasting away, wanting and desiring to have that. And that is what happened and was happening to the world before Jesus came. It was pining after wickedness and sin. Oh, but thank God Jesus came. And the next portion of that verse says, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining." The next three words says, "Till He appeared." Thank God this morning He appeared. He was born, and what a great day that was. What a wonderful time that was when Jesus was born. When Jesus came to the world, it was in darkness and it was wasting away until He appeared and everything then changed. The darkness went out and the light came on. For when light is there, darkness has to flee. When Jesus came, the despair of man walked out and he was able to be aware of the fact of his need of a Savior and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. This song, O Holy Night, some 50 years after it was written, I did a little bit of research on it and I found some interesting facts about it. And in 1906, on Christmas Eve, a man by the name of Reginald Fessenden, he was a 33-year-old university professor and he was a chief chemist for Thomas Edison. And on Christmas Eve night, he did something that had been thought of to be impossible up until that time. He used a new type of a generator and was able to speak into a microphone, and for the first time in history, a man's voice came across the radio waves as people normally would get the Morse code type information. But over those little speakers that those radio operators had came a voice of a man. And it was this man, Reginald Tressadine. And he made this statement. It says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed." That's the first words that were ever spoken over the radio waves. Isn't that interesting? And as soon as he got through a reading of that, what we call the Christmas story, as he became that, as he gave that clear, strong voice, and he was hoping that he was reaching to the far corners, far distant places over the radio waves, and the operators of the ships, they were astonished that they were hearing words. The operators of the radios, and they just could not believe they were hearing words, and some of them even thought it was the voice of an angel. Oh, but it was the voice of this man. And as soon as he ended his reading of that particular passage, he picked up his violin and he played the song, "O Holy Night," making it the first song that was ever put over the radio waves. I thought that was interesting. There's the verses about the birth of the Savior, and then he played the song, "O Holy Night." This is the time of the year that we are made aware that Jesus was born. Now, we believe it. We know that all the time. We understand that. We accept the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But this is the time when we really think about it. And most of the time, our Christmas messages would come from Matthew or Luke. Well, there we have the passages of Scripture that are given to us as the shepherds were watching and they were giving. They had the angelic host proclaiming, and we read about in Matthew the wise men that came sometime later, and we read about the manger and the swaddling clothes, and that's the Christmas story. But when you read the story and all the passages of the Apostle Paul, not one time does he mention the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one time does he ever mention about the manger, or does he mention about the angels. He doesn't say anything about the cradle. He doesn't say anything about the shepherds or the wise men. He has nothing to say about what we call the Christmas story. But I believe that he does give us the story of Christmas. And not necessarily just the story, but he gives us the glory of Christmas. And this morning we're going to be in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. And we'll look at these verses just for a moment. And I'm not going to read them as I usually do and then come back. We're just going to begin to look at these things and note some things about the glory of Christmas. I guess if that's a title, if we had a title this morning, "The Glory of Christmas," or even "O Holy Night" could be that title. Paul gives to us not the what of Christmas, that he leaves to Matthew and Luke, but he gives us the why of Christmas. He gives us the reason that Jesus came, and I believe we find it here in Philippians chapter 2. I believe he gives us three practical things concerning the celebration, what we call Christmas season. And I want us to look this morning at these three things and note what Paul has to say about the glory of this time we call Christmas, or the birth of our Savior. I want us to think, first of all, that if we're going to think about Christmas, as I said a while ago, we can go to all these places and we see everything except any reference to the Lord. We hear every song except the songs concerning the birth of the Lord. That's out in the secular world, and we could expect nothing more than that. But if we're going to celebrate Christmas, we must concentrate on who was born. We must concentrate on this one, Jesus Christ, that was born, laid in a manger, and died for our sins. After the account of the birth of Christ, there is not one record of a birth anywhere in the New Testament. You can read your Bible, and after the birth of the Lord and after the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are no more genealogies in the Scripture. From Genesis to Malachi, you find many of them. You find many genealogies or the tracing of the family tree. The reason for that is because every Jewish family, every Jewish woman, every Jewish man that had a family was desiring that they might be in that lineage or that line of the Messiah that would come. And so after he came, it really wasn't that important anymore. For they knew who had come. They knew that Jesus had been born. And Paul never gives us the details, but he gives us some things about the birth of the Lord. And he goes back much farther than even Matthew or Luke does. Matthew and Luke, they look at the birth of Jesus historically. We know that Jesus was born. That is a historical document. We have evidence. We know that He was born. And Matthew and Luke gives us those things historically. But Paul looks at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ theologically. He looks at it from the point of view of God. And thank the Lord He was God in the flesh. And the Bible tells us, let's look at verse number 6 of Philippians chapter number 2. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Here we find the Apostle Paul takes us back even before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he goes all the way back into eternity. And notice here with me two words in this verse. The Bible says here that in verse number 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Notice that word equal. It comes from the word isos. It means equality. It means having the same. I checked with Brother Yandel a while ago. He's our geometry teacher. I said, can you tell me, and would you tell me, what kind of triangle it is that has equal sides? And he said, isosceles. They have two angles, you have two sides, and they're both equal. And so we find that this word isos is the word that Paul uses when he says in verse number six, to be equal with God. The word there is isos, to be equal with God. And here we find that it just simply means the two sides are absolutely equal. Brother, when you look at Jesus Christ, you're looking at God. When you think about the Lord Jesus Christ, you're thinking about God. Jesus claimed to be equal with His Father. He says in John chapter 5 and verse number 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him because He had not only broken the Sabbath, notice here, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal. Same word. Making Himself equal with God. Now the bottom line, the reason that the Jews hated Jesus Christ so much, it was not because of His miracles. It was not because of the good things that He did. It was because He claimed to be God. He claimed to be equal with God. And so they didn't just destroy Him and hate Him because that He had, in their thoughts, had broken the Sabbath, which He did not. It was not because that He had done things that they were in disagreement with, but the real problem they had with Him was that He said that He was equal with God. Everything in being the same, absolutely equal in size, quality, character, and number. And here we find they despised Him because of that. Also, another word in verse number 6 is the word form. In the Old Testament, you'll find the word signet. Many times, years ago, I preached a message on being a signet for the Lord. The word signet means an impression. It was a ring that the rulers would use and they'd have on their hand. It'd be a ring that they would use to make official certain documents or certain parchments of paper. And when that parchment was given to the king, he would take his ring on his finger and sometimes he would dip it in wax, and sometimes he would just stamp it on the parchment, and he'd put that insignia, that's where we get that word signet, he'd put that emblem or that form on that paper, making it an official document. Well, here we find that Paul says, and he uses the word here, that we're looking at. He said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The form of God. Being in the form of God and equal with God. You see, Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse number 30, I and my Father are one. Here we find that the Scripture tells us, Jesus said, when you see me, you're seeing the Father. When you're talking to me, you're talking to God. I and my Father are one. I'm that signet. I'm that exact replica. I'm the one that is equal to the God of heaven. Now this morning, we can take an example of our children. I and my daughter are two. But Jesus said, I and my Father are one. You can take your children and you can say your name and their name, and there's two. And so Jesus said, I and my Father are one. We're not two. There was no subtraction when Jesus was born. It's hard for us to grasp that little baby who could not feed himself, that little baby that could not take care of himself, could not clothe himself, could not care for himself. He was God in the flesh, even in that manger, as a child, as a baby. There was no difference. I and my Father are one. There was a time when Jesus was God and He was not man, as in eternity past. But there has never been a time when He was man and not God. I'm glad this morning that He was man and God, the God-man, Christ Jesus. I and my Father are one. Just as there was no subtraction, there was no division. Jesus did not give up any of His godhood to make room for His manhood. He was God in the flesh. Actually, there was addition. For He tells us and reminds us that He took upon Himself the form of a man and in the likeness of a man. And He took upon that Himself that He could be both man and God. That complete human nature which He'd never possessed before. It was something different, and He had added humanity to His deity. So from that time on, He was both God and man. So we need to concentrate on who He was. We need to concentrate that if this Jesus is not God, whom we claim and the Scriptures claim, then we wouldn't have any decorations this morning. We wouldn't have the decorations behind me. We wouldn't have the flowers. You wouldn't have the decorations that you're... If He's not God, then there's no reason to have that. We would not have the songs that we sing. We would not have the trees and the toys and all the tinsel that goes along with Christmas if Jesus had not come. You see, it's about Him. You see, it's about the Lord. It's about Christ, Jesus our Lord. If Jesus is not God, He's no more use to us than Santa Claus. If He's not God, then we have no use for Him and He has no good for us. Oh, but I'm glad this morning I can deliver you that the Apostle Paul said that he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He tells us that Jesus was. Paul is telling us that Jesus was not just a man among men. He was not just the first among equals. He's not the greatest of the great. He's telling us that Jesus is God. He's the highest of all. He is telling us that Christ Jesus is our Lord. If this is true, then maybe we ought to ask ourselves the question, then why did Jesus come? If He was God in glory, why did He come and take over the grief of this old world and this earth and the problems that are with that? Why did He come if He was God? Oh, I'm glad this morning. Verse 8 tells us that. Being found fashioned as a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus came that He might die. He humbled Himself. I don't know if we would ever comprehend the real knowledge and total understanding of those three words. He humbled Himself. Now you and I can humble ourselves because we don't have a whole lot to give up. But it's hard for me to comprehend Jesus humbling Himself and becoming a man. Because He laid down and left all of the glories of heaven in order that He would come to the grime and the grief of this old world. I wonder, even when we get to heaven, if we will really understand what it means for Jesus to humble Himself. It's sort of like the angels cannot understand redemption before, because they've never had redemption. They've never been redeemed. And so we have the passage of Scripture here that He humbled Himself. He left all that He might live as a man. He left all that not only would He live, but that He would die. He could have stayed in heaven. He could have stayed in glory. He could have stayed in the penthouse. Oh, but thank God He came to the poorhouse. He came to where I was, and He came to where you were. And there He gave Himself for us. He became a man that He could be just like us, so He could be our Savior. So if we're going to celebrate Christmas, Paul tells us here that we need to concentrate on who was born. And to understand that, we've got to go all the way back before time even began. He was the Godhead. Not only do we understand and need to concentrate on who was born, but we need to commemorate why He came. I've touched on that already a little bit. We need to commemorate or think about, celebrate why Jesus came. The Bible says in verse number 8 that He was obedient unto death. That's an amazing statement. He was obedient unto death. It's not that He just left heaven. It's not that He just left heaven and came to earth. It's not that He just left heaven and came to earth to be born, but He came to live. And that's not all. He came to die. Not just to die, but to die for us. Not to just lay down His life and grow old and die like some people do, but He came to die for you and I. What a wonderful story we have on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just die, but He died for us as a Savior. He became God with us so He could die as God for us, so He could live as God in us, that one day He as God will come for us. Thank God this morning there's a complete story of the coming of the Lord Jesus. By His coming, Jesus tells us that He knows how to suffer. This morning we heard a lot of prayer requests. We had a lot of different things mentioned. We have folks that are in surgery probably right now. We have people that we know that are going to have surgery. We have folks that have lost loved ones. We have many, many difficult days. But you know what? My Lord can identify with every one of those. Because I don't think there's ever been a person, ever been a man or woman, that has ever suffered to the extent that Jesus suffered. You see, for He left the glory of heaven. He left where everything was perfect and well. And He came to a world that despised Him and rejected Him and crucified Him. He came from a world that was well and good to a world that was bad and horrible. He experienced all of this so I don't have to. He experienced the agonies of the cross because He was obedient unto death. He experienced all the problems that were there because He wanted to be obedient unto His Father. We need to understand that God nor Jesus was under any obligation to save us. He wasn't obligated to me. He wasn't obligated to you. Sometimes people do things for us and we feel like we're obligated to help them when they need help. Well, Jesus wasn't obligated to do that for us. But He was obedient unto His Father. Jesus did not die out of obligation. He died out of obedience. O Holy Night. He died while the world and sin was pining after wickedness and evil. But out of obedience He came that I might live. For you see, back in, this is not good terminology, but back in eternity past, which there is no eternity past except in our mind, But back in eternity, in the mind of God, man had failed and Jesus was our only hope. And whether we be Muslim or Methodist or Buddhist or Baptist, Jesus is the only hope of mankind. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what we say is politically correct. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That's according by pretty good authority called the Word of God. And so we need to commemorate why He came. He came that we might have life. It was not just enough that He died, as I said a while ago, but the Scriptures point out that He had to die the death of a cross. The Bible says, cursed is every man that hang on a tree, and Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. We could understand Him coming and dying a dignified death of old age, and the family gathers around as we do, and we think about our loved ones, and we remember all the good days, and we're saying goodbye. But that wasn't the way Jesus died. He died a violent death. He died a death that we would not want to observe. But Chris this morning made mention of how Jesus was there hanging on the cross of Calvary. And as the Scripture so clearly tells us, He was not like you see depicted in a picture. He didn't have a little trickle of blood down His breast. He had been beaten. He had been stripped of His clothes. And He was hanging there, suspended between earth and heaven, naked before the eyes of mankind. And there He shed His royal, wonderful blood that we might live with Him and because of Him. That's the commemoration of why He came. That's why we need to understand the real reason. For you see, He died an initial death because the Bible says from the foundation of the world He was as a lamb slain. He died an official death as God's selected substitute. There was no one else. No one else could have died for us because everybody else had sin. But He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He died a judicial death, as it was a judgment in my place. He died a sacrificial death, the just for the unjust. And He died a criminal death, and that the Bible tells us those 3 hours of darkness. And Jesus cries from the cross of Calvary, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" You see, there upon the cross of Calvary, something had took place that had never been before. Jesus and His Father were separated. Remember, He said, "I and My Father are one." But there on the cross, He was separated. Thank God for my sins and for yours and for the sins of the world. So when we think about the birth and celebrate Christmas, we need to concentrate on more than just the manger. We need to commemorate the cross. And He didn't just come to live and to have everyone put up lights for Him. That's not why He came. He came to die that everyone else might be able to have life. You see, the last part of the message this morning, if we didn't have it, we would not have a Christmas celebration. If we did not have this last part, we would not be celebrating Christmas, because if Jesus had been born and died like everyone else, we wouldn't have anything to celebrate. There are multiple people that die every day. Worldwide. We don't remember them. We don't know them. And if Jesus had died like all those people, we wouldn't know Him. I dare say most of us this morning, primarily the people that we know personally that have died, are those that are either in our family or our close friends, or historical people that we read about. That pretty well takes it all. Everybody else we don't know. But there's something about this person, Jesus. There's something about Him that's far different. Because He, yes, He died. Oh, but look at verse number 9. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Not just a baby, not just one dying, but He has been highly exalted. That started by resurrection. Well, preacher, we're talking about Christmas, the birth. We're not talking about Easter, the resurrection. Oh, we're talking about Jesus. And when you talk about the Lord, you have to take the whole package. He was born, yes, thank God for the manger. He died, yes, thank God for the cross that He was willing to go. Oh, but thank God for the resurrection. He rose from the dead and life unto Him. The climax of verse number 9 here starts with the word, wherefore. Because of all the things you've read, wherefore God hath highly exalted Him. Because He did come, because He was willing, because He was obedient, God hath highly exalted Him. Bestowed upon Him a name that is above every name, Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus is the name of humiliation. The Lord is the name of exaltation. Jesus was born as a man so He could relate to us. I'm glad. He was a man. He was a human. He died as a Savior so He could redeem us. Praise the Lord. But thank God He arose from the dead as Lord so He could rule over us. He's our ruler. He's our Lord. Somebody says, have you made Jesus Christ your Lord? You better not worry about that so much. You better make sure He's your Savior. For if He is your Savior, He is your Lord. Now, you may not fall under His rule and you may rebel against Him, but He's still your Lord. And you'll answer to Him one day. Here we find that He has absolute, complete lordship over us. One day the world will accept His lordship, for the Bible says everyone will bow to Him by choice or by force. They're going to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow. In heaven, on earth, under the earth. The world will not only accept His lordship, the world will acknowledge His lordship, for the Scripture says every tongue shall confess. No getting around that. Every person of Adam's race will acknowledge Him as Lord. Every person of Adam's race will accept Him as Lord. You'll either do it, as I said a while ago, you'll either do it by choice, accepting, or you'll do it by force when you stand before God. But you're going to do that. You can be sure of what God says will come to pass. Think about that. Every pagan tongue is going to confess Him. Every atheist tongue. I don't know if you've watched the things of TV this week. They have the atheist nativity scene there in Wisconsin. I'll tell you, one day they'll stand before a holy, righteous God and give an account to that. They may mock and make fun now, but the final word is the Lord's. Every Buddhist tongue, every Muslim tongue, every humanist tongue, every demonic tongue, every angelic tongue is going to confess that He is Lord. Because one day, thank God, He came. What a holy night that was. The song says, "Oh, holy night." What a wonderful, wonderful day that was when Jesus was born. The song says, "Oh, holy night, the stars brightly shining. In the night of the dear Savior's birth, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary ones rejoicing, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. Truly He taught us to love one another. His law is love and His gospel is peace. Chains shall He break, for the slave is our brother. And in His name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy and grateful chorus rise. Let all within us praise His holy name. Oh, holy night." Thank God Jesus came. He didn't just come to be born and laid in a manger. He came to die that I might live. If you would play that down. Listen as the song is sung.
Thank you.
we read the scripture with a little different view of things. And I hope the next time you hear that song, it reminds you of the scripture. What a great day when Jesus came. Because He came is why we do all that we do. We spend our time, we spend our efforts, we do all that we do so that we might point people to He that came. That's what it's all about. Thank God He uses people like us. He didn't have to. The Lord said, I can raise up rocks to praise Me. Oh, but He chose us. And may God help us to be dedicated to Him and to do for Him what He wants us to do. I pray all hearts are clear this morning. Things are well. If not, I'm glad, thank God, we have one we can go to anytime, day or an hour. Bless His name.